Hi, people. Welcome back to Dr. Sam's Musings. This episode is a day late, but I said I will not churn out another episode this week. I mean, to be very honest, I think that the reason why I haven't really been consistent with this season is because I kind of struggled with topics to share under the relationship bandwagon. Plus life, Nigeria has really been Nigeria in. And honestly, I'm having to deploy every single tool in my mental arsenal not to let it weigh me down. But yeah. Nigeria will not become the death of all of us, by God's grace. Anyway, still on the relationship bandwagon, today I want to touch on relationships with siblings and how to, you know, build better relationships or just, you know, maximize our relationships with our siblings. Relationships with siblings is one that just tickles me so much. Like, I feel like it's such a microcosm of life, because how can people be raised in the same environment with the same people under the same conditions and turn out so completely different? And it makes me really ponder on the nature versus nurture, you know, theory. Like, which one plays a bigger role in how people turn out? Is it their nature? Is it what is in them? Or is it nurture? Is it how they're raised, the love that they're given, the experiences that they have? Or is it like a nice mishmash? You know, I guess we'll never know. But it's always so interesting that 10 people, even if you have 9 siblings, 10 people can be raised in the exact same conditions, under the same conditions, same mom, same dad, same everything, go to the same schools, and they will still turn out in 10 different ways. So I have 3 brothers. I don't have any biological sister, but I have 3 brothers. I have 2 older brothers and a younger brother. And, you know, growing up, I can't really say that we had a relationship that was different from any other sibling relationship. I know that my brother and I, who are the middle children, I know there was a time when, you know, we weren't as close as we are now. But apart from the typical sibling fights, and I can't say that there was anything in my childhood that sticks out as regards, you know, growing up with my brothers. I was the only daughter, yes. So apart from things like, oh, I was very finicky and I liked things a certain way, they were just my brothers. You know, we had great times together. We had bad times together. The times when I couldn't stand them, the times when I loved them completely. And even now as adults, it's still the same. Like, we're just human beings. And there are days when I love my brothers fiercely. There are days that we don't even talk for like months or weeks. And there are times when, you know, everybody just does life. Like, you check in once in a while, you make sure the other person is okay, or you hear from mommy that the other person is okay. But life happens and everybody just does their thing. But I know for a fact that I would literally sell my kidney for my brothers. Like, I love them. They were my first best friends. They were my first companions. They were the ones that we would whine and weep about my dad together. And I'm so thankful for, you know, all the memories that we have and the paths that everybody has taken, and just, you know, just us as we all navigate life and try to be better and do better for ourselves and families and things like that. But not to make it about myself, why do we think that, you know, siblings turn out so differently? There's so much talk about birth order. You know, they'll say, oh, firstborns are this, middle children are this, lastborns are this. But there's also been so much research that disproves the birth order theory. I, for example, I am a middle child, if you go by the question. Like, my brother and I are the 2 middle children. But maybe because I'm an only daughter, I had certain privileges. So I don't feel like a typical middle child. I don't feel what they expect middle children to feel. Like, it's said that middle children often feel like they got the least attention or whatnot, or that they didn't have any particular position. But I cannot remember ever feeling like that. Maybe because I had only daughter privileges. But I know that my brother, who is middle along with me, my immediate older brother, and I are very, very similar in many ways and different in many ways as well. I know that my younger brother was like my baby for so long, still is. I think in my head, he'll always be my baby. And then my oldest brother was the one that kind of seemed the most far away from me. I don't know if it was age, I don't know if it was because he matured faster than me, but he always seemed like the one that was like, oh, you know, he's there and I'm here. But, you know, regardless of that, as we grew older, we also, you know, forged, you know, a pretty, you know, beautiful relationship. And I'm thankful for all my brothers and the roles that they've played in my life over the years. But I wanted to talk about you know, when things don't go great with siblings, as I've seen in many, many cases, you would assume that people that you've shared memories with or people that you've shared life with, that you share blood with, literally will be your lifelong friends, will be your, you know, biggest support system, will be your confidant, your confidence and things like that. But it doesn't always pan out that way. And I think that one of the biggest reasons for this is unmanaged expectations. Precisely because of things that I've just said, a lot of people expect their siblings to simply be there for them, to simply show up, to simply be accessible, be, you know, present. And when this doesn't happen, there's a lot of disappointment and resentment, especially if, on the flip side, that sibling is always given to the sibling that they suddenly see as being absent or not being as present as they can be. But we also have to remember that regardless of the fact that we grew up with these people, we share memories, maybe we've done things for them in the past, we love on one another, you know, everybody has a life to live, especially as you're growing older. Everybody has lives to live. Everybody has, you know, pain points. They have things that worry them. They have things that they're dealing with. And regardless of how close you are to your siblings, sometimes they don't want to share with you precisely because of how close you are to them or precisely because of how much they love you. They don't want to lay that worry upon you. You know, they don't want to share certain things with you because they don't want you to worry, because they know that you will literally carry their matter for head. So they don't want to tell you certain things because they don't want you to worry. I can't imagine if one of my brothers was going through like a financial downtime. I don't know that they'll pick up phone and say, oh, Sammy, I'm going through a financial downtime. I mean, it might come up in conversation or if I probed or, you know, but they wouldn't, I doubt that they will call me because they wouldn't. There's this thing about not wanting to disappoint people that you love. There's this thing about, especially if it's a younger sister or if it's someone that you look up to, there's this thing about not wanting to disappoint them. So a lot of times siblings will keep things away from one another, not because they don't trust the other person, but because they don't want to lay that trouble or that burden or that disappointment in their head upon their sibling. So sometimes you don't know what our siblings are going through. We feel like, oh, I mean, I know her, you know, this, she's never there for me. She's this. Sometimes it's just that they're incapable of being there for us. So we hold on to resentment and we hold on to pain from things that we truly don't understand deeply. So I always say that if your sibling does something to you, if there's any group of people that deserve benefits of doubt, if there's any group of people that deserve help, now you didn't show up for me, what was going on? I didn't see you, or I expected you there, or I had hoped that you would do this for me. Have a conversation with them. You don't bustle things like that in. You don't hold on to things like that and then go and rant and rave to another sibling or to your mom or to your dad and escalate something that you can sit down with someone and discuss. So if you have an issue with your sibling, trash that from the beginning, like, I don't understand what happened. Everybody was there. You didn't come. I didn't hear from you. This. I was going through this. You didn't even trash it out from the beginning. This is your person. You know, they'll give them the opportunity to say, ah, man, Sam, I just couldn't be there at that time. I was dealing with something. I didn't know how to tell you. Just give them that benefit of doubt. I mean, not to excuse bad behavior. If it's a pattern, if it's something that you've talked about multiple times, then you might need to, you know, do something else. But if it's a one-off or something that has occurred only one or two times, then give your siblings benefit of doubt. The other thing I will say as regards siblings is that, you know, our lives expand and they grow to include other people. And unfortunately, those people are not always going to be our people. So you have instances where brother and sister or brother and brother are very close. And then one sibling is dating somebody or gets married to somebody that the other sibling is not feeling at all. And it just puts a strain on their relationship. And I always say that in situations like this, it's very important to feed your relationship outside of that other person, outside of that other relationship. If it's a situation where, you know, this new person in your sibling's life is deliberately trying to keep you apart, as we know happens, I know of situations where a man will marry a wife or a woman will marry a husband, and the person will strategically or sometimes very openly begin to keep that person away from a family. Very manipulative spouses. And because of love and, you know, all sorts of things, people will allow themselves to be manipulated until it's kind of awkward to go back to your family. If you sense that there's a strain between you and your sibling's partner or friend or whatever, nurture the relationship that you have with your sibling. Do things without that person. meet up for lunch, you know, outside their home or whatever, and just nurture your relationship. You cannot say that because you don't get along with your sister's husband or your brother's wife, you are going to stop you're going to stop seeing your brother. If all of a sudden it's uncomfortable for you to go to the home because the wife or the husband is always shooting daggers at you or is always saying unsavory stuff, then meet up somewhere else or have them come over to your house. But you must deliberately nurture a relationship with your sibling, because, as they say, relationships might come and go, but your blood remains your blood. And you don't want, there's something, I think it'll be a great sense or a great source of heartache to have, you know, someone that you love so much in this world and you can't communicate with them because you've put a strain on a relationship from an outsider, from someone who is not part of your blood relationship. So I always say that if there's someone else in your sibling's life that puts a strain or makes it difficult for you to meet in certain places, I mean, there are many other places that you can meet, there are many other things that you can do. And I think that it also, you know, behoves reason that you try and get to the bottom of that. What problem does your wife have with me? What problem does your husband have with me? If you've done that and it's still not, you know, fixable, and your sibling is like, look, this is my wife or this is my husband, I'm going to stick with her, just give it space, you know, leave them alone and meet what you need to meet. And no matter what, just be civil and cautious and courteous to this person. You don't have to stoop to whatever level and be rude and make your sibling's life, you know, miserable just because you and their spouse or you and their partner don't get along. Don't put them in the position of having to choose, oh, my wife or my brother or my wife or my sister or my husband. Please don't. Just be the bigger person. Ignore if you have to ignore, and forge your relationship with your sibling outside of the relationship with other people. Another thing I want to talk about as regards relationships with our siblings is, I think that apart from, you know, the parents-child relationship where our parents kind of map out our lives in their heads, at least that was certainly the case with my life. They map out our lives in their heads, and when things don't go according to how they plan, sometimes they get disappointed and whatnot. I think that with our siblings, we sometimes do the same thing. We and this isn't about mapping out their lives, it's just about wanting the best for our siblings. We want the best for them so much, and especially if it's a younger sibling, we see the potential in them, we know the things that they can be doing, and they're not just living up to that expectation. Sometimes we express the disappointment in ways that makes them keep away from us. We constant criticism, we constant advice and whatnot, and they're like, please leave it alone. Just like if a younger sibling or even an older sibling is not married and you're constantly trying to match make, or you're constantly telling them, oh, you know, your standards are too high, you're too this, you're too that, you're going to ostracize that sibling. They're going to want to spend less and less time with you because you're going to be a nag, and you're going to remind them of everything that they haven't achieved. Because a lot of times we don't know how to advise or to caution independently. So somebody might be having an issue keeping a job, for example, or getting a job, and by the time we're advising, we're criticizing not just the fact that they don't have a job, but the fact that before you know it, you're saying things like responsible or no farming, and it just escalates in many cases. So I would say that, you know, manage your, again, expectations, and understand that everybody's life is everybody's life. Some people's lives will go accordingly, some people's lives will grow in ways that we never expected. Some people will start slower than others. Some people will start faster than others. I think that as siblings, what we should be covers for one another. I think that we should, you know, we should be strong points where our siblings are weak and whatnot. We should cover them where possible. So if you have a sibling that is struggling, for example, with getting a job, there's nothing that says that you can't look into that for them. Or, you know, if you know that they're actively searching, like this person is not a lazy person, he's actually looking for a job every day, and you have extra income, there's nothing that says that you cannot help your brother or your sister out. For me, I feel like that's one relationship that there should be no shame in the game. Like, dude, well, as I'm looking for this job, I'm broke. If you can carry me for a while, you know, I feel like that's one relationship that should be, you know, all, you know, no holds barred, within reason, of course. It doesn't mean that you should bleed your siblings or you should now be seen as someone that can be milked all the time. No, I'm just saying that if there's a set of people that should be able to lay it on you when they can. Because like I said earlier, it's not always going to be easy. You know, there's pride, there's a fear of disappointment. But if they can, if you know they can come to you and say, well, Egbon or Aburo, things are a bit tough for me right now, then I think that we should be able to rally around and do something to kind of carry our siblings. And then another thing for me is, you know, I have to tackle things from a spiritual angle. You know, spirituality, again, is one that causes a lot of rift in, you know, siblings' relationships. Like, you might be on a further along, you know, part of your spiritual journey than your siblings. So, for example, in Islam, smoking and alcohol are big no-nos. You might have gotten to the point where you're like, I can never drink, I can never smoke, I can never miss a prayer. And you have siblings that still dabble in those things. It's not your place to judge. It's not your place to breathe down their necks. The only thing you can do is pray for them and advise them in the best manner. Advice in Islam is always in the best manner. They're adults, especially if they're adults, they'll do what they want to do. All you can do is advise and pray. You know, I find that a lot of siblings, especially the ones that are very spiritually inclined, tend to ostracize their siblings when they come off as being preachy or being judgmental, and it can be very, very off-putting. So my point is, if you think, if your siblings are not as spiritually inclined as you, carry them along, you know, teach them things, point them in certain direction, share certain things with them, call them to good, but don't be the reason why they're even further put off from spirituality, from your nagging or your judgment or being judgmental. Let them see the role of your spirituality in your life. Let them see how it makes you better, and let that be the appeal for them, as against you just being judgy and being condescending and critical of how they choose to live their lives. Then the last thing I'm going to say as regards relationships with siblings is that in Islam, I don't know what Christianity says, but ties of kinship are so important. So my brothers and I live in different parts of the world. Two of my older brothers live in the United States. My younger brother lives in Lagos. I live in Abuja. And we don't, they're guys, you know, we don't communicate as frequently as I would like. I wish that we spoke and we communicated a lot more. But again, time difference, my brothers in the US, and in life, you know, life just gets in the way. And sometimes it's the ones that you love and you know will kind of always be there, that you take for granted the most. It kind of falls to the bottom of urgency as regards keeping in touch. I really, really hope and pray to do better. But even though we don't communicate often, my brothers are top of the list for prayers. Like, I pray for my brothers with my heart and my soul. I carry them in my heart. I carry them in my prayers, their families, their jobs, everything that they are. I carry them in my heart and I carry them in my soul. And I maintain that tie, you know, even if it's not physically, you know, I maintain that tie. And I gained a sister, you know, via marriage. So my younger brother's wife became, I don't even call her a sister, no, she's just my sister. And I absolutely love her to bits. And I carry her in my heart as well. You know, I carry her in my soul. And even though, you know, we don't see all the time or we don't talk all the time, I hope that, you know, my presence is felt in their lives in some way, some form. In Islam, ties of kinship are so important. They're super duper important that we have to do better in maintaining them, in keeping them. If distance keeps you apart, if, you know, life keeps you apart, check in once in a while, send a message, call. And, you know, thankfully, this is the era of technology. You know, I'm trying to do better with scheduling video calls and things like that. It's not always doable, especially, like I said, again, time difference. With my brother in Lagos, it's a lot easier. But with the ones abroad, it's a bit dicier. But I think that, you know, we feed what we love. We prioritize what is important. And, you know, this is, you know, reminder to myself first, ties in Islam, family ties are not things that you mess around with at all. You have to feed your ties of kinship. You have to, you know, just literally feed your ties of kinship. So this is a reminder to everyone, like, build better relationships with your siblings, check in, know what's going on in their lives, be there for them, but most importantly, pray for them, carry them in your heart, carry them in your soul, be there for them when they need you to, even if it's just a listening ear, even if it's just, you know, advice, even if it's just, you know, some just a random senseless conversation that, you know, cheers them up, even if it's just checking in just for, you know, just for happiness purposes or whatever. Let's just try and foster those relationships with our siblings. They are God-given best friends. They are God-given companions and support system through life. And I hope that, you know, this makes you kind of sit down and re-examine some things in your relationship with your siblings. Maybe you've had a rift with your particular sibling and you're now able to think, maybe she was going through something in her life at the time. I think I'll have a sit down and talk to her about it. It might make you, you know, more empathetic or more or less judgmental or controlling about certain aspects of your sibling's life. And it might just make you, you know, try and do better yourself as a sibling, because it's very easy to point fingers and say, oh, this is the one that doesn't do this. Oh, she doesn't call, or she doesn't do that. But sometimes maybe she doesn't call because you're not that pleasant to talk to, or because every time she calls you, you're going to criticize her or have something unsavory to say to her. So this might be, I hope that this podcast makes us examine our relationships with our siblings and just aim to do better and be better. Well, thank you again for listening, and I will be back, well, when I'm back. Bye.